Thank you for downloading this podcast from the Echo e-learning page. Don't forget that Echo membership would provide you with unlimited access to a whole range of other educational courses, as well as the entire content of the Echo e-library. Please check this out at www.echo-ibd.eu.
My name is Marina Loi, I'm working at Sapienza University of Rome, Italy, and in this Today podcast I will give you an overview of some mimics of pediatric inflammatory bowel disease. The correct diagnosis of pediatric inflammatory bowel disease includes the evaluation of the upper and lower GI tract through upper and lower endoscopy, along with the evaluation of the small bowel through MRE or other imaging techniques. The execution of these exams normally allows us to correctly diagnose our patients. Nevertheless, there are some diseases that can mimic in terms of clinical symptoms, but also in terms of endoscopic appearance, classic inflammatory bowel disease. The first group of diseases that can mimic classic IBD are the monogenic very early onset diseases. These are a heterogeneous group of diseases starting in the first year of life, commonly in the first months of life, that can appear with classic signs of chronic intestinal inflammation. Some clinical signs can help us to direct our diagnosis towards these diseases. The acronym Young Age Matters Most can help us to recall those signs directing towards this disease. Among these, the young age onset, having multiple family members and consanguinity, having other autoimmune diseases, driving failure, a very severe disease course, failing conventional treatment, having other systemic signs like endocrine concerns, recurrent infection, severe perianal disease, skin lesions, dental and their abnormalities. In the presence of these clinical signs, thorough evaluation of other conditions that can mimic IBD, including upper lower GI endoscopy, laboratory evaluations, small bowel evaluation, exclusion of some infections and other conditions that can cause intestinal inflammation, such as, for example, allergic colitis in an infant, should be always performed together with some functional screenings and genetic confirmation strategies. Basic complete blood count, neutrophil oxidative burst assay, immunoglobulin count and lymphocyte subset should be evaluated in all patients, and then genetic confirmation by candidate sequencing and possibly functional confirmation should be performed in those patients with a high suspicion. Moving to other conditions that can mimic pediatric inflammatory bowel disease, some infections can start with clinical signs that can mimic a chronic condition. Among those, several infections can give acute colitis with signs of colitis. Others can locate in the terminal ileum or cecum. Among the latter, an intestinal TBC is considered as the great mimic of inflammatory bowel disease, in particular of Crohn's disease, as several characteristics are similar to that of CD, and the diagnosis is not always as thorough as we can think. The PPD has limited value, especially in those patients vaccinated because of a high false positive rates, and also the interferon gamma release assay sensitivity is as low as 60% to detect correctly intestinal TBC. The chest X-ray is positive only in a small percentage of patients with an intestinal tuberculosis only. So it's the combination of different techniques, including imaging, endoscopy, and possibly TBC PCR from biopsies that can help us to correctly diagnose our patients. Nevertheless, in those areas endemic for TBC and when the diagnostic dilemma persists, After performing all these exams, then prophylactic treatment for tuberculosis for 2 months is suggested before starting any immunomodulator or biological therapy for Crohn's disease. Other infections can give signs of an acute colitis. Normally the correct diagnosis is simple, as patients with an acute infection have symptoms for less than 1 week, but there are some cases with a symptom that persists more than this period, and where all the culture or stool culture or PCR for toxic genes are negative. In these cases, performing an endoscopy with histology can help us to correctly diagnose our patients. Knowing that some chronic signs at the histology of IBD can appear only after 2-3 weeks from the beginning of the condition. Basal plasmacytosis, the first sign that we can find in ulcerative colitis, while non-caseous granuloma are present only in less than 60% of patients with CD. Other conditions can locate everywhere in the GI tract, like vasculitis or sarcoidosis or Behçet syndrome. In these cases, a capsule endoscopy can help us to correctly diagnose our patients using the findings at the endoscopy, along with imaging, clinical appearance, and if we can have it, also histology. Combining all these evaluations can help us to correctly diagnose our patients. So, concluding, the differential diagnosis of IBD is broad and encompasses a wide spectrum of diseases. Some of these IBD mimics can cause not only GI symptoms, but also can have some extraintestinal manifestation. So thinking about other differential diagnoses when first approach our patients can help us to correctly manage our pediatric IBD patients.